Yo, we're back.
Yeah.
Foul Hooked Whitey, Brandon Booty, episode 2, the exit interview. So we didn't get through any questions at all last episode because I went off on all those tangents.
It's fine. It's perfect.
Well, it's flowing out of me. So what do you got? So let's actually bump the question here.
We talked about what your biggest challenge was in fly fishing. You have to adapt a lot, right?
Yes.
The weather, or whatever.
Yeah.
Same with business. What's the biggest thing you had to adapt to, or the hardest thing?
That's a great question. I mean, that actually I have to think about that. You know, adaptation. I would say. You know, you stumped me.
It's hard.
You know.
It's hard.
You know.
What about fads? Is there a certain fad you had to adapt to?
Let me just. Is that another separate question?
No, it's okay. Just linked.
No. Let me just kind of think about just a second what you asked me. So you asked me what my biggest challenge was as far as an adaptation.
Yeah.
I got to think about that. I'm going to say none, because a beaver don't adapt.
That's true. What about something you just even added that was like, dang, I'm glad I added that. It would help the shop a lot.
You know, I mean, I think I'm the most proud of my fly tying. I mean, okay. I think at the end of the day, just over the course of years, that build up, that presentation. I mean, there's been followers. You know, I had the fly fish food guys in my shop, and, you know, they tied for me. And this is a long time ago, definitely a decade ago, before they ever opened up a store. And I think those fuckers opened because of me.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I could
definitely see that.
They were two very nice gentlemen. I mean, you know, Cheech was really, like I said, he's a very nice man, and so is his partner. They were really nice to have in the shop, in the area, and for me to bring that to my consumers. But, you know, I looked at these two dudes, they were in my shop, and they were like, fuck. I mean, I don't think they'd seen one.
Yeah.
You know, and I just mean, you know, a shop that went over the top.
I mean, this is the biggest fly tying selection I've ever seen.
I'm not taking any credit for anything, and that's for fucking sure. But I literally think those two, when they were in my shop, I think the motors clicked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So my materials effort, considering, you know, the leader here is not a tire at all. That's probably my biggest adaptation, because and what I'm the most proud of, because I opened up with the business model not to carry any. I mean, I spoke about that before, because I'm not a tire, and I don't want to come off as, you know, being fake to me. If there's one business statement that just fucking annoys me, is fake it till you make it. I fucking hate that.
Yeah,
I hate that. You know, because that's deceptive.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
That's deceptive.
Why not just be good at it?
Or not do it. You know, do something you got to fake, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so me getting into the materials part of the business wasn't faking it. It was just a demand thing.
Okay.
And when the beaver gets on a kick, that motherfucker just builds. Like, he builds fucking materials.
Still building it.
And so that was my biggest adaptation, was I'm not going to do this. And then within 30 days going, fuck, I need to do this.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know. I imagine you weren't doing this from the beginning, but something you've added also is probably hosting trips. How long have you been hosting trips?
A while. I mean, at least 6 to 8 years. Okay. And I've done a lot. I've done dozens.
I want, not talking about the fishing.
Yes.
Do you have just a hosted trip from hell? Worst hosted trip?
No.
No,
I don't. I mean, I really don't. I really don't. I mean, I've had a couple where, you know, weather made stuff tough. And obviously not every group that I've had has been like tight and mean, you know, because you'll get people buying single occupancy.
Yeah. There wasn't no customers fist fight in the bar.
No, I took a guy to Cuba on a liveaboard maybe 2 summers ago. And I'm not going to drop his name, but I could give a fuck if he knows I'm talking about him, because he annoyed the fuck out of me. You know, I mean, annoyed the fuck out of me. You know, first of all, I took this guy not knowing him. And that's an issue, because you don't know him. And you got a group of 10. It's tight, meaning, you know, you're not fucking walking over the, you know, you're not staying on the fucking love boat.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's plenty roomy, but you're on top of each other in these liveaboards. And, you know, we're getting into a cab at the Havana airport, okay? And we're getting transported. And within 3 fucking minutes, this guy tells me, Yellow Dog's banned me. This motherfucker's telling me. I was so annoying to Yellow Dog, they basically said, don't call us again, fucker.
And you're like, fuck.
I mean, I was just sitting there going, okay, I mean, that's interesting. But I didn't really take it further than that. By the end of the week, one of my best friends who was on this trip just fishing, he actually was fishing with me, wanted to beat him the fuck up. I mean, he annoyed people to the point where a gal on our trip literally told him to shut the fuck up. I mean, he just didn't know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it.
Just obnoxious and rude?
Obnoxious and rude. And because I took him on this trip, this dude ended up signing up for another live aboard trip that I had, and I took the money. You know, I took the money because I needed to fill the trip up, and I took the money going, ugh, what are you fucking doing, Rich? Because, you know, he was so fucking annoying before.
Yeah.
And then because, like, the guy has got all these fucking obsessive OCD questions, motherfucker's calling me on my cell phone every other day. I didn't call him back one time, and he says, I'm done with this. I want my money back.
Perfect.
Fuck.
Here you go.
I mean, it was perfect, but the whole point is it was just like, that's kind of what you could get yourself into if you don't screen who's on your trips better.
There's a client. Shit. There's a client that goes to the Bighorn that is like that. You know, lodges. Yeah. Some lodges won't take them and shit.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of the deal. So and the good news is, like, he's really the only one.
Because you've done a lot of trips.
A lot, and I've taken dozens and dozens and dozens of different people, and really international to fly fish. So, the thing about those trips is, and I try to use this when I sell a trip to somebody, is that besides the fishing and the habitat and just traveling to do something you haven't done before, the thing about that those trips are, what you end up having with people when you go through that experience is more.
Yeah.
Like if you take a client that has the potential to be a friend of yours or a repeat customer to travel with you, you know, when you take them on those trips, I mean, you become more to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, big friends or anything like that, but it's more than just if they were in here a lot. Yeah.
Well, you experienced something together.
What's that?
It's just the fact that you experienced something together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's that kind of thing. So, you know, I anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there an item that you sell that you feel like you have to sell that you wish you didn't carry?
Yes, I mean eggs. fucking eggs. I mean, eggs. I'm not a spawning, you know, spawn bed type trout angler. I mean, I don't like it. I don't like beads, but I wouldn't carry beads. So if I did, beads would be my answer. Egg patterns, because, you know, egg patterns are generally sold to somebody that doesn't tie into ethics in the sport whatsoever.
Okay.
I sell them because I need the 250 a fly.
Okay.
Yeah. We have prolific spawns here. We have a December spawn on the Bighorn for great brown trout.
Well, working here last year, they were coming in here for those damn
eggs. Oh, my God. And then, of course, your spring rainbow spawn. So, yeah. and people buy eggs. So, but that's the one thing that I sell that, like, you know, that would be where I could be, like, you know, sarcastically critical when somebody actually buys something from me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't give a fuck. You know, it's not, you know, if Montana Fish and Game doesn't fucking care.
It's on them at that point.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you know, the Bighorn River is a blue ribbon trout fishery. It literally brings in millions of dollars in revenue. And they don't do a fucking thing to regulate any aspect of the spring or fall spawn there. Like nothing. Yeah, like, yeah.
It's
like
all
nothing.
It's all on the guides to say shit.
Yeah. Well, or they don't. Yeah. And that's a whole different subject. So yeah. I want to talk about that. Remind me of that.
Okay.
Okay.
So leading off of that, I'm going to read you this quote.
All right.
A Rich quote here.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Do you sell the fly tying material, squirmy wormies? Yes. They are located right back here next to our fisting and double penetration videos.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. That's a great line.
One of the great quotes from your foul hooked whitey.
Thanks. Thanks. I'm proud of that.
Is there a blog or a quote that you regret writing?
Ah. That's a great question. I mean, that really is because wow. Because I've written some dumb things.
Yeah. You now sell squirmy worms.
I'll tell you what. I wrote a blog that wasn't Fly Fishing the Planet of the Apes. It was, something Gorilla High.
Okay.
Yeah, Fast Times at Gorilla High.
Okay, yeah, I remember reading that one.
And what it was a sarcastic play on the genre of streamer fishing and the Bro Fest. Right, the Bro Fest.
Yeah.
I wrote that just like I've written everything, which is total fucking honesty, harsh and delivered sarcastically, so I can see the rub.
Okay.
But I upset a young man who I love. He He's a good friend of mine. You know him.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yep.
And he stayed out of my shop for a few years. That bothered me. You know, yeah. It bothered me because I like him. I care about him. And he took it wrong. You know, that's the thing. It's like...
He felt like you were aiming it directly
at him, right? God, no. I mean, that's what he felt like, man. The same guy.
Yeah, I was talking about myself.
Okay. You know, yeah. And that's kind of my... So, yeah, kind of. I mean, not a specific quote because... I think that, you know, our audience of none, I think they like the fact that we talk frankly and we talk graphically and we talk straight.
Yeah.
But sometimes when I've done that, you know, I upsetting him that time.
Yeah, you don't want to offend him, yeah.
Well, I'm not worried about offending people. Okay. I'm worried about a friend of mine taking something wrong.
Okay.
There's a difference, right? I mean, I'm not worried about offending people. I'm worried about somebody that, you know, I wouldn't think would do that, did that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I regret that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So leading off of that, I guess I'll go right into this question.
All right.
The fly fishing industry has grown like crazy.
Crazy.
Some people say it's saturated. And there's just a lot of stuff between, you know, amount of flies, amount of gear. I would say,
yes,
there's too much good choices. It's like walking through a sex shop. Especially when you talk about the fly names.
Wow. Well, you know, Master Gallop.
Yeah. Do you think it's gone too saturated?
It definitely is too saturated. And I don't mean that from like any. I'm not saying that's hurt me. I'm just saying that it's too saturated. My beef with the industry and the explosion of, I'll say everything, equipment value, meaning cheap shit, to the choices in equipment, to the personalities in the sport, the pseudo personalities in the sport. And my beef number one is with some women in the sport.
Okay.
Well, look at you looking up at me like, well, fuck, here we go. We're gonna
And
you know, the reason is because I resent how some of them through social media have become something because of how they look.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have a question on this one. This
okay.
is perfect.
I mean, you can go to that if you want to.
You can go ahead and finish.
I mean, I'll limit it so I can answer your question more properly. But I've literally seen women take advantage of their looks to blow up in the sport. And you know, I love hot women.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, hey, smoke them if you got them. Hey, I mean, I'm just saying that, like, you know, I don't want my woman putting herself out there, personally.
Yeah.
Right? There's that, you know, there's more of that, you know, sexist Rich talking. But a lot of women on social media do. And a lot, you know, I've called it the Colgate smile. You know what Colgate is?
Yeah, yeah, it's toothpaste. Yeah.
That means that, like, they can get 1,000 likes because the guy's thinking, God, that's a nice fish, but I want to fuck her.
Yeah, if she's holding the same fish up.
Nobody's
as a
looking
dude,
at my post thinking they want to fuck me.
They're getting 10, 20 times more.
Oh,
likes,
I
if
mean,
not more.
Just like that. And that's because guys are horn dogs, and that's because a lot of men on social media are horn dogs.
Yeah. So that kind of answers my next question. I was going to ask you if social influencers are ruining the sport.
What they're doing is I would call it not ruining, but I'd say it's being dramatically watered down.
Okay.
And the reason that I say that is because, you know, I post to get likes, but, you know, the reason I'm posting and the exclusive reason I'm posting is less ego and more sales, you know, if you've got a fly shop entity or you've got an online entity that's selling gear, selling bugs, selling anything, you want organic hits, and an organic hit is something you didn't pay to get. That means you want that dude or that dudette to say, oh, that was a good post, that was funny, or that was this, and then they click on go to your website. That at the end of the day, that's my whole motivation for social media, period.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've done
marketing purposes.
I've done hundreds of quality fly tying videos. I mean, you know, Jesus, you know, the guys at Fly Fish Food, they crank those fuckers out like, you know, like dandruff. I mean, seriously. I mean, there's a fly tying video every 15 minutes, and most of the time the motivation is to sell some dubbing.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time is to sell a hook. But the social media part of it, when it comes to personalities, that to me, I'm not going to say it's gotten too much because you can always turn it off.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right.
That's
I'm not a censure guy or a rag on something I keep looking at guy.
Yeah.
You can turn it off. But I'll say this. I think it's made superstars in the sport or high exposure people in the sport. I think that they got it cheap. I don't think Gallup got it cheap.
Oh yeah, he had to work for it. It's like a shortcut now.
Fuck, I don't think Craven got it cheap. The real deals in our sport, no.
Yeah.
But when you've got somebody that's out there, how tough is it to find a 10-pound brown on Instagram?
That's
every fifth picture?
That's my point. I was going to say
it's
ruined expectations. Scrolling through Instagram is like scrolling through Pornhub. The average fish is not that big.
Yeah. here's another thing. About 5-8 years ago, who were the guys that did, they were in the western part of Montana, and they were good. They were filmmakers.
I know who you're talking about.
They did fishing videos and they did hunting videos. And these fuckers were legit, right? As sportsmen.
Yeah.
But they got pinched on bull trout.
Mishandling bull trout.
What the fucking name was there? What was their business?
Wild trout.
In the wild. I don't fucking know what it was. And if there's somebody out there that's called In the Wild, then I'm not talking about them. I don't remember their name, but they were the legit.
Was it Montana Wild?
Yes.
Yeah.
Couple of brothers, right?
Yeah.
They got pinched on bull trout, and they did something that literally got Montana Fish and Game to fucking get a search warrant, and they took their fucking computer hard drives.
Look through all the videos.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
We're talking a fly fishing industry production company. A couple dudes. It wasn't like it's, fucking, Wide World of Sports. The feds got a fucking search warrant to grab their computers. That number one blew me away. These two fuckers aren't Pablo Escobar or something. Give me a break. And they found on these videos that they didn't produce and put out, I think multiple releases on the same bull trout. So there's a video on this dude's computer that shows them like releasing a bull trout and then letting it fucking back go and swim so they could reel it back in better for another shot.
Video. Yeah, get it on video.
I think that's what they got nailed with because, they didn't buy it. They didn't have the permit to fish for bulls or they, I'm not quite sure. But I think of that and that'll tell you right there how unethical and how far someone will go.
Yeah, to get footage. That's crazy.
To get footage and to be popular on social media, right?
Yeah.
So that ain't right.
Yeah, that's not right at
all. That ain't right. Right? So maybe that's the drive to be successful optically with thousands or millions of fly fishermen out there. That's what leads somebody to do something fucking stupid. And that's what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way. Yeah.
Most of it's harmless. Most of it's marketing. Most of it's ego. But at the end of the day, is it too much? Obviously. All right? That's it. You got anything else on this? And we'll come back for another episode, which is going to thoroughly fucking bore people. All right. So that's it. Episode 2, the Phallic Whitey, Brandon Booty, the exit interview, out.